Commish, good morning, sir.
Hi, sirs. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much. You know, it's one thing to rake on Homer Bailey. It's another thing to rake on Ian Kennedy. Both of them have been struggling as of late. But Jason Vargas has had some really good starts, and the Cardinals got to him last night. I thought the Cardinals may have gotten a really, really bad break on a call. I think it was in the Bonifacio at-bat that I thought was an obvious strikeout. Yadier Molina, I don't think he was even framing it. I think it was just a blatant strike, and he was stunned that it wasn't a strike. And then they were repaid in the next half inning where Vargas thought he had a strike. I think it was on Jose Martinez, and then that wound up leading to Martinez getting a walk. Both of those could have been turning points in the game. For the Royals, it was not. For the Cardinals, it was, and it opened up the floodgates for a big inning. But when you see what the Cardinals have done offensively over the last 3 days, yes, the first couple pitchers have struggled, but Vargas is a different cat, and they got to him as well. What have you noticed, anything that you can put a finger on that has led to the change in offense?
I think it's just the length of the season. They've got guys who have hit before. I think Fowler's return has been some energizing part of this. He looked like he's having a good time out there. He's running well. He's had, what, two doubles and a triple already, I think. And he's covering the outfield well. That gives him a little bit more pop. From they've been hitting him six, and they had a little bit of weakness from six to eight there for a while. And now Wong is hitting great at seven or eight, even nine one time. Gritchick is hitting. DeYoung is hitting again. Carpenter is starting to really hit. The only guy who's not hitting now is the guy who carried him for a long time, is Pham.
And you talk about Dexter Fowler's return. Didn't go out on a rehab. And when players miss some time, usually timing is a big issue. You mentioned he does look energetic. I don't know if whatever was bothering him has healed up. Maybe the heel is better. But he seems to have not missed a beat, which to me, I think he deserves a lot of credit because timing is always an issue.
Yeah, I mean, he got to hit a lot at home when the team was either home or in Milwaukee. He had a lot of batting practice at home, so the fact that he had only one day in Cincinnati wasn't that big a deal, I guess. And people can say whatever they want about their season, how disappointing it might have been. When you're 2.5 games out, it doesn't matter what your record is, you're in it.
And, Commish, in terms of Yadier Molina, obviously a lot of discussion the last couple weeks after the Instagram posts and all that, and we've all had the discussions about how much should he play or Carson Kelly now that he's on the roster. And basically since then, Yadier Molina has been unbelievably red hot at the plate.
Well, yeah, I remember last year he hit 365 or something the second half of the year. So that goes to his point that he'll let him know when he's tired. And Kelly's now on the Friar program pretty much. He's catching one game a week, and Yadier's catching them the rest of them. Now they've had 3 days in a row there where they could get Yadi out early and give Kelly at least an at-bat or two because they've been so far ahead.
You know, when you look at playing in the Central, any team that goes on a little winning streak is right back in the middle of it, and that's where the Cardinals find themselves. But if you look at the bullpen since early July, their bullpen has actually been one of the best in baseball, so they've figured some things out, Rosenthal closing games out. And the starting pitching has been consistently good for a big part of the season. They are in position, if they can continue to get at least a little offense, to make a move, don't you think?
Absolutely. They need to get Wainwright straightened out a little bit with his finger. And I think his back's all right, but his finger troubled in the last game. And Leek has got to pitch better. He's going tonight, and he's going to have to be as more like he was in the first 2 months of the season than maybe the last 6 weeks or so. But Martinez pitched very well the other day. Walk has been terrific for a month and a half, and Lynn has been solid all year. See, their rotation was and is good enough. They were never going to fall completely out of it because they'll win low-run games once in a while with that pitching. They don't have to score 10 or 11 a night. If they'd scored like five in each of these last three games, they'd have won them all too because they only allowed three a couple times.
And, Commish, last night, Michael Wacha has a quality start by definition. But just overall this year, as we enter this season, and Wacha was a question mark in terms of, there was even discussion about him in the bullpen and could his shoulder hold up. And I guess still that's a story to be told as we move, you know, here further in the season and his innings pile up. But he's been, I mean, so much better than what most people expected this season.
Well, he's got better stuff now than when he came up, when he was the sensation of the of the late season in 2013 and in the playoffs. He's got a curveball now that he didn't have before. His changeup is better, and he's throwing 96, 97, 98. I don't think he threw that hard before either. So this is a new and improved version. Yeah, will he hold up? And they've been they've been good about that. They gave him 11 days off twice this year between starts, and maybe there'll be another time later in the year when you would do that. But he's 6-1 in his last eight, so maybe no need for that. He started the season barely squeezing into the number five spot, when which opened up when Reyes had his elbow surgery. So this is becoming a staff ace type guy coming from the number five spot.
They are financially committed to Stephen Piscotty, who clearly wasn't himself. So they sent him out. But if everyone on the current roster continues to mash, even when they get to expand the rosters, what does that mean for Piscotty in terms of getting meaningful playing time?
Well, that's a good question. He's going to have to earn his way back in, much as Grichuk had to. Grichuk is hitting long. He's not hitting for average, and maybe he never will. But he's had a couple home runs recently. Martinez's development has thrown another wrench into it, if that's the right word. He needs to play. He's been batting fourth during this run, and he's going to continue to bat fourth, I would think, until he cools off. And Fowler is going to play most every day. I would give Pham a day off maybe. He looks like he's dragging a little bit. He's really worked hard here, and maybe even tonight would be a good day to get him out and play Martinez in the outfield for six innings and bring in Pham for defense.
He is playing very well. From your experience talking to players, the 500 mark, I know it's big for fans. It just seems like that's a place where you can jump off from or start fresh. Is 500 even something that they consider? Do they look at their actual record or just how many games out they are?
Both. I mean, they have, the manager insists he didn't know they were at 500 or whatever, but that, you know, I don't know if I completely believe that. The players don't have 500 as a goal when you start the year, but when you've spent 2 months every day under it, or more than 2 months, when you get there, that's a big deal. And no team has ever been to the playoffs in baseball under 500. So until you get to 500 and a little above, you can't be a contender. Well, now they've climbed above for the first time since June 1st. And the games behind have always been kind of relevant. They've never got more than about 5.5 here in the last, I don't know, a couple months or so. But now it's 2.5, and now they're over 500. And it doesn't matter if their record was, say, 61-52 after 113 games, and they were 2.5 out, people would say, hey, that's a good race. Well, the fact that they're 57-56 and 2.5 out makes no difference. It's the same deal.
Commish, what's the likelihood in the next 3 weeks or so, do you think, that if the Cardinals are still, let's say they're a half game out, a game out, tied in the standings, that John Mozeliak and the front office would make a move, not just something that could help them for 2018, because we know that's what they were looking for around the first trade deadline, but maybe adding a bat, a reliever that could help them just here in 2017, knowing that the ask probably wouldn't be too high on some of these guys?
You could do that. You could always improve your pitching staff depth because guys get hurt or they get worn down or whatever. A big bat would be unlikely to bring in here. Piscotty is theoretically a big bat. He was your leading RBI guy last year. So he's going to be back. Diaz is going to be back. You know, who was your 300 last year, made the All-Star team. So they got two bats sitting there at Memphis. And they have pitching they can bring up too. We'll probably see Flaherty up here in September. You'll surely see Weaver up here. But they could go outside the organization and make a minor transaction if they hang in there. I don't know that anything major is going to happen, but they have enough. And their competition, while estimable, there's nobody's going to run off with this thing. The Cubs have had numerous chances to take off with this thing, and they've declined.
Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tim McKernan, Charlie Marlowe, Jim Hayes with you on the radio program. Commish, we were discussing yesterday Jeff Passan's column, and he said, in his opinion, Yadier Molina is not a Hall of Famer at this moment. You are. What is your opinion of Yadier Molina's Hall of Fame prospects?
Well, I think they're very good. I would say he's probably not there just yet, but he's going to catch a couple more years as a regular anyway. He may get another Gold Glove or two, which would get him up to 9 or 10, and those add up. He's had, what, five, I think, 300 seasons. I mean, you can't look at his power. That's not his game. Everything else is Hall of Fame worthy, and as far as his defense and his batting average. So I think not yet, but if he plays like this for another couple of years, then I say yes.
And the reason why we started getting into a discussion about it is that I feel like in St. Louis, it's the opinion of the majority of the fan base, and I put it on Twitter, and granted, that's not scientific, but it was 2,000 votes, and I think it was 83, 84% of the people responded said yes, he will be a Hall of Famer. But if you ask nationally, and understandably, any fan base is going to have a higher opinion of their player. It's not exclusive to St. Louis, but if you ask nationally, I think there'd be a healthy disparity on that 84%, and I think it'd be below 50% of baseball fans. And so I brought up the Jim Edmonds thing and how Edmonds, while I don't think there were a number of people saying he is an automatic Hall of Famer, there were a number of people who thought that he was at least in the discussion, but then only was on the ballot for 1 year. And as I would imagine you would acknowledge, that was a unique year regarding the ballot. And Jim was the innocent bystander, so to speak, in that circumstance. But if you're going to compare the two to get into the discussion about Molina's Hall of Fame prospects, potentially Edmonds' unfortunate circumstance would be an illustration as to pump the brakes. How do you view Edmonds and being only on the ballot 1 year and then a comparison with Molina?
Well, that's a good comparison. I thought Edmonds would surely last more than 1 year. He didn't get to 400 home runs, which used to be a magical number, and I guess maybe in some voters' minds it is for a non-catcher to not hit 400 home runs. But defense doesn't get much cachet in the Hall of Fame balloting, unfortunately. Ozzie Smith was one of the great defenders of our time, but if he hadn't had 2,600 hits, maybe he wouldn't have been a first ballot guy. I don't know. He should have been, and he was. So that's always going to be out there, I think. You look at Molina's home runs, you look at his bubblegum card, as they say, and his home runs, he's got over 100 home runs, but that's about it. You know, that's nothing spectacular. But that's a guy, if you watch him play every day, if you had polled the players in the league the last 12 or 13 years, they'd say he's a Hall of Famer because of the way he controls the running game, the way he handles the pitching staff, plus the fact he can hit 300.
Yeah, on the Edmonds thing, you said it was a good comparison. And as memory serves, first off, you had Griffey on the ballot with him, so that was just going to automatically be an unfortunate foil. You're talking about a 60 WAR guy versus an 84, I think, wins above replacement with Griffey and considered one of the all-time greats, even though obviously things tailed off once he left Seattle and dealt with the injuries. But then you also had a number of guys who had some sympathy and also an interest from some of the voters to make sure that they would get votes because it was one of their last years on the ballot, and it was just one of those rare years where there wasn't enough room, I think, for Edmonds. Is that how you recall what played out there?
Yeah, and I liken it to the year that Ozzie went in. Alan Trammell was on the ballot for the first time that year, and anybody, I know the Cardinals didn't play the Tigers and Interleague play them, but anybody who saw Alan Trammell play for double-figure years with the Tigers and some of those really good clubs they had, he was a tremendous player, and he got no support the first year because people viewed him as the second-best shortstop on the ballot. Well, he was, but that doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer.
Right, right. Yeah, and unfortunately,
and he never caught up. You know, his elections are gone now. He started off at like 10 or 11%. Well, you can't make it.
That's
there.
The thing. That's the thing. Exactly right. I don't know if Edmonds will ever get, 15 years from now, that or 13 years, I guess, Veterans Committee? Is that how?
Well, he has to go through the 15, no, it's now 10 years.
10 years,
you
okay.
Would have been on the ballot. So let's say he's got 8 years to go now then. And then after that, it depends what era it is. So it'd be roughly 10 years before he'd be considered, which isn't too bad. It's better than 15 as it was before.
Right. But you think nationally the appreciation for Molina is strong, even if the baseball card numbers, as you said, aren't necessarily reflective of his impact on this team's success, really, since he has been the starting catcher over the last 12 seasons?
Well, you'd like to think it would be strong, but we don't know that.
Right, that's what I'm wondering. And I was wondering if you ever get in discussions with some of your cohorts on his
A little bit. I think it's not as strong as we'd like to see it, but maybe before his time comes up, he won't be on the ballot for I would think, 5 to 8 years anyway. That maybe defense will have gained stature, more stature in the minds of the voters. And maybe he'll have, I mean, once if he gets a 10 gold gloves, that's going to be hard to throw out there. And he could be on 10 all-star teams, too. That, not many guys have done those two things and not made a Hall of Fame mark.
Rick Hummel, brought to you here by 314 Sports every Wednesday on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Joining us on the Appliances Counter Phone Lines. Commissioner, appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, sir.